Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into the secret history of the casting couch, to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I am all in.
With Scott Patterson, an iHeartRadio podcast.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. This is Scott Patterson, and this is the I Am All In podcast, iHeartRadio. What an episode. My God, was this episode fun or what? We're going to bring in Riley now, and we're going to do synopsis of Double Date, episode 12. Go ahead, Riley.
This is episode 12, Double Date, air date January 18th, 2001. Lane, convinced that Dean's friend is the boy for her, convinces Rory to double date with her. Lorelai reluctantly accepts a double blind date with Jackson, Sookie, and Jackson's cousin, Rune.
You asked out Lorelai. You asked out Lorelai.
Yeah, I did. I asked twice. Her out. I asked, twice. Twice. Not denied twice, but interrupted twice. It was like asking out Datus interruptus. Mrs. Kim comes storming in looking for Lane, like throwing a mom fit right in the middle of my asking out Lorelai, right? I just kept getting jammed up.
Why don't we listen to that?
The clip? Let's go ahead.
You know, maybe sometime we could.
Again, Easton, play it again.
You know, maybe sometime we could.
That was a massive moment.
That was big, right?
Do you remember it?
I don't. And I really I don't like watching myself, but I like watching this stuff because it's so underplayed and I really like it. It's small. Yeah. You know, the acting is small, so it can be big. And it's just, I really liked it. I enjoyed that. And her look, at the end, he does it again and he's successful, right? At the end of it, he's successful. She's wearing that. She has a ponytail and she's wearing that top, that cool looking top that she had on.
And that time it was more like, oh, we'll do it again sometime. And
right.
It was more casual.
But didn't she look so good when she looked at me as I was going back behind the counter?
You mean tall Lorelai?
Yeah.
Tall Lorelai with her big ears.
Right. Tall. Her size. What size shoe do you wear? So we're going to get into all this. We're going to get into Double Date. What an episode, guys. This was just a laugh riot from beginning to end.
It could have been called Double Date.
Yes. Could have been called, The Attack of Lane's Mom.
I had such higher hopes for Lane's date, and then that didn't turn out how I hoped it would.
Yeah, she tried, Lane tried. It was a valiant effort to try to get some kind of intelligence out of this boy. there was no intelligence to be had out of this young boy. Dean's friend. I guess he's a bro, he's a good dude and all that, but man, I tell you, he's not yet turned into dating material.
Yeah, he wasn't the wordsmith Lane was hoping for.
He's no Dean. Let me tell you, watching this episode, I was like, Dean is such a babe, like kissing her and doing all that kind of stuff. I was like, if I was Rory, I would be all about Dean, which she is, but major hot points for Dean this episode.
He was, quite adamant that he wanted to chew on her face when he wanted to do it. He didn't want to listen. He didn't want to do favors. He just wanted to Mac Daddy, Mac Daddy, Mac Daddy.
Let's break down Mrs. Kim, because what do we think of Mrs. Kim? Is she way too strict? Is she just looking out for her daughter's best interest? Is she just out of her mind? Mrs. Kim is so strict, but it puts Rory in this predicament that we've seen a couple times where she has to lie to do what Lane wants, you know, or Lane's always hiding out at their house, or in this case, even Rory's in trouble because she lied, which makes Lorelai upset. So it is sort of a eek situation.
What was the lie? She lied.
Lane lied to her mother on the date.
Right. She couldn't go on a date.
She was supposed to be at Rory's house, and she's at the movies with the boy, and she's not supposed to be.
And Rory didn't tell Lorelai that Lane was going to be on the date either.
Yeah, or she didn't tell her that Lane wasn't allowed to go.
Right.
Yeah, because Rory told Lorelai, "We're going to the movies with Dean," but didn't say that, hey, Mrs. Kim doesn't know this, mm-hmm. so play along. Right.
That puts Lorelai in a bad spot because now Mrs. Kim can't trust her going forward.
Yeah, and I don't think Lorelai will lie as a mom to another mom.
No.
She won't do it. She is really mom code. Yeah,
know?
She definitely has mom code. So I think there are challenging elements for Rory and Lane because they want to do things and they... You know, it goes back to even the candy bar. Oh, that's mine. They've been lying to Mrs. Kim since episode two or whatever episode that was.
But that was it. That when Lorelai went to see Mrs. Kim, that was a powerful scene. And it was a beautifully acted scene by Emily Carota. Wow.
Yes. And it's so many colors. Hurtful. Yeah. It can be hurtful to Lorelai that there's judgment, even though Lorelai has proven herself to be a really excellent mother, Mrs. Kim still has judgment.
Right. She's blaming Lorelai for that when it's not her fault. So Lorelai shows up and now Emily or Mrs. Kim sees her as like, you're a screw up. And Lorelai admits that. Yeah, I screwed up and I'll never be what did she say? She said something so self-deprecating. She goes, and very nasty, but she handled it beautifully. Mrs. Kim said, I hope I don't want Lane to turn out like you.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you know what? I don't want Lane to turn out like me either. And what a moment. My God. And I don't want Rory to turn out like me either.
Again, yeah, Mrs. Kim has the best of intentions. She just has a harsh way.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you know, trust is a big deal. I mean, it's a big deal.
I think it's also a respect thing.
Yeah.
At least with, you know, mother, daughter, with my family, it's the same thing. You know, it's like if your dad gives you these rules, you follow them. And Lane wasn't doing that. So I think Mrs. Kim saw red when she found out that not only was her daughter lying, but she also wasn't obeying her and respecting her.
Very interesting dynamic, and what a powerful actress coming into Luke's diner, breaking up my...
Your moment?
My moment. Where's my moment?
Easton.
Here we go.
You know, maybe sometime we could...
There it is again.
I wonder what would have happened had Mrs. Kim not just like barged into the diner. Would you have gotten your kiss years earlier?
Yeah, maybe. No, I think she delayed it a little bit. Not much. Who knows? You know, if things were to go, stay on his plans, it would have happened probably that year, that season. But
yeah, you know,
life got in the way for 4 years.
We weren't ready for it. Wait, what card game was that you guys were playing?
5-card draw.
Is that poker?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you let her break the rules?
But the thing, I did. I gave her 4 extra. And if you want 4 cards, you have to show your ace. The only way you can get 4 cards is to have an ace. And I didn't require that she show me her ace. So I was just like, really, just like, here, just take them.
You just really like her.
Yeah, I like her.
It's a great scene.
I liked when he pulled out the deck of cards. I think that was cool. Because, I mean, I grew up playing cards. That's what we do on the East Coast. We played a lot of cards when we were kids. We gambled when we were kids. It was unbelievable.
Do we feel that Jackson and Suki are on their way now?
That was some of the best acted stuff I've seen yet. Those two together were magic. That was hysterical. And the moment that Lorelai is just like she doesn't know what's going on. She's just trying to figure out why these two are being so awkward and tentative with one another. It was hysterical. Was that a great scene?
That's a great scene.
Oh, sure. No, you can lie. No, thank you. Right? It was completely different behavior with their normal. And Lorelai,
and everyone can relate because Suki did throw it out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they never get the day. And she doesn't want to be the one to say it again.
Yeah, but come on. He's got to grow a pair and call her. Like, come on.
I agree.
What the heck was that all about? Like, be a modern woman and you call him? No. You want to go out sometime? Yeah.
What about Suki's prom hair updo? That was my favorite. It was so like prom-esque and her dress. She looks, I loved everything about that whole double date.
How can you not love Melissa McCarthy? I mean, what a performance. What a just incredibly likable actress, person. So vulnerable, so sweet. You can't not root for her. I mean, it's impossible. It's humanly impossible not to root for her. Just great stuff. Really great stuff. What else can... And there was no Emily in this at all, was there? I noticed there was no Emily.
No clown pillow either.
It was less stressful an episode. Even with the Max Perlick stuff and going after Lorelai that way, it just seemed like, you know, Emily's character does introduce an element of stress. Very entertaining, very needed. But the tension really ratchets up when she comes on screen. That was missing in this episode. There was far less tension. Because I think what Mrs. Kim was doing was real and powerful, but sort of more comedic. You know what I'm saying? It was more, it was just funnier stuff.
You know, maybe sometime we could.
Oh my God.
Did you hear the accent? Did you hear the little accent?
So much.
I don't
do
know.
It again. Easton, do it again.
Here, listen to the accent.
You know, maybe sometime we could.
Sometime.
You had an accent.
What is that accent? What is that? Gilmore?
Yeah, that's the Gilmore. I was trying to find the character, you know, in the beginning of the series. And
you know, sometime you could.
It's like a how you doing.
Yeah.
Maybe sometime we can go out for a little...
God, you guys, I was so shook when it happened. I think I didn't remember from the other 5 times I've seen this episode. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, like alone, I'm talking to the TV. Oh my God. Oh, oh, he just asked her out.
Yeah, twice. I mean, I was going to the hoop. I don't know if I was going to the hoop very strong, but I was going to the hoop.
Yes, I agree with
and
that.
And I got fouled. Mrs. Strong. Kim fouled me, and she fouled. I couldn't get to the hoop. She fouled
it maybe
me.
Wasn't strong, but it was real.
It was real. Yeah. But I think it was strong. It was like, I mean, let's compare the methodology of a Max Medina versus a Luke. I mean, what do you guys prefer?
Yeah, Max is coming in hot. And he's coming in too hot.
Like, just like he's going to get called for an offensive foul. He's coming too strong to the hoop, you know.
We call that quick out of the chutes. So you never want to trust too quick out of the chutes. It's like, ooh, dial it back.
Yeah.
Dial it back.
Yeah.
He came in too hot, and that's why it's doomed.
If you want a girl like Lorelai, you better be a little crafty about it. You better be kind of, you know, just subtle, under the radar. When she least expect it, like, boom. You know what I mean?
Can I give an off-the-wall comparison?
Sure.
Different, but yet the same. Carrie and Mr. Big. Because did not come quick out of the chutes. And it's like, that's why it worked for all those years.
I don't know that show.
Oh, get yourself.
I know what it is. I've seen episodes. I like it. But I just never watch it from beginning to end.
It's just that dance. It's that dance that you and Lorelai are going to do. And it's going to last because you're not just like in her face.
I didn't realize I was on her this quick. I'm trying to close that deal.
Started in episode 2 when she asked if you were cute. That was the biggest dead giveaway of anything. Luke is cute? I'll never forget it.
I got a full bucket of golf balls. I've only hit a couple of balls. I got a lot of balls left. It's a really unfortunate way of putting it. I just heard myself say that. Really, really funny.
What's a rune?
What is a rune? That's the name my parents gave me. That's what it is. No. What is a rune? How did they name you rune? What is a rune?
You say it too at the counter. She's like, that says something about rune. You're like, what's a rune?
What's a rune? God, I mean, did she just want to smack him or what? I mean, did he so deserved it. When she wanted to powder her nose, he said to her, under his breath, he looked at her, he goes, you better get a lot of powder. Gonna need a lot of powder for that nose. She doesn't have a big nose. Yes, he did.
He did.
Danielle caught something amazing that I did not notice that she can reveal to the world.
What is this?
When they were at dinner, did you see Rune beheading the butter swans?
Of course. Yes. And then in another shot. And then in another shot, the swan was still had a head. So he that was a little inconsistency. But yeah, he's beheading the swan, butter swans. Yeah, the fancy. That's
true. I had to rewind it like 5 times because I was like, he did not just do that.
Now, what is your gut that he was directed to do that or he thought of it? Because we will ask him. We will ask him.
I'm going to put my money on that's his choice. I think he came up with that.
If he did, is a genius.
Yes. There's and worthy of the award he won. He won an Independent Spirit Award for Best Supporting Male in Drugstore Cowboy, by the way. Little factoid. Yes, he's quite, and he was in Blow with Johnny Depp. He's the guy that gave him up at the end of the film.
He was in Ferris Bueller's Day Off and Can't Buy Me Love.
Yeah, I know that. But he's also in Blow with Johnny Depp.
He's so... I love Max Perlick. He's so iconic. He's that guy.
I need more. I need more. What do you want me to do? It's like, you know, I only make one flight, a couple of flights a week. We need more. We need more.
And guess what?
What?
He's on today's podcast.
No way. Max Perlick is coming on today. All right. Let's get Max on right now. Can't wait to talk to him. Let's get him on.
Rune.
Buddy.
Hello.
Hey, bud. How are you doing? What's happening? Where are you?
I'm at home here in LA.
Oh, okay. Cool.
By the piano.
There you go, buddy. Nice to see you. Max Perlick. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is. He appeared as Rune in a total of 3 episodes. He's an American film and television actor. His career began when he dropped out of high school to pursue a small part in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, 1986. He then appeared in Can't Buy Me Love, 1987, Plain Clothes, 88, Drugstore Cowboy, 89. He won the Independent Spirit Award for Best Supporting Male in Drugstore Cowboy. Wow. And also, it doesn't mention here, but one of my favorite movies, Blow. You were also in Blow opposite Johnny Depp, and I have some questions for you about that. On television, you're in Gilmore Girls, Charmed, My Name is Earl, Terminator, Sarah Connor Chronicles, Luscious Jackson. Max, welcome to I Am All In podcast. How you doing, pal? Huh?
Thank you. I'm doing well.
So you've appeared in some iconic projects, like Ferris Bueller's Day Off and Charms. How did you get, tell us about the process of getting the role of Rune on Gilmore.
Rune was put to me, and I was really excited about the professionals and the skill sets that they had. Edward Herman. Is it Edward Herman?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, amazing casting, amazing production staff, writing staff. They had a system that was just locked in, and all you had to do was basically, in my opinion, just show up and be able to make it sing. And if you had to have that cadence, you know, with the material was just, if you understood any kind of tone, if you had any kind of musical inclinations, you did well with their writing, because it was really just about the tempo, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It felt like an iambic almost, you know, there definitely was a rhythm to it. Absolutely. I've been on, you know, I did a Seinfeld that was very organized and buttoned down. I did a Will and Grace. I did some other stuff before I got Gilmore, and it was all really smooth sailing. Great crews. Did Gilmore, more of the same. But then after I did Gilmore, I did a couple of series, and it was just kind of a mess. You know, I really missed that whole Gilmore crew and how crack they were, you know, and how they really had it. It was Kubrickian, you know. It's like Stanley Kubrick was known for his organization, and that's what you need to bring to bear on a TV set. So tell us a little bit about your first day on set, what you can remember being a first day on set.
I remember being nervous because I felt, you know, it was a high bar. I was always just nervous because there was a lot of people that you're always used to seeing the positions of the different crew. But when it comes to being in touch with the material, I always just felt like I needed to really be focused. And I just wanted to just watch as much as possible and absorb mm-hmm. their process, mm-hmm. the working process for the cast and how you guys were working, to just kind of tap into that so that I could do my due diligence, you know?
Right.
And I was just trying to mesh with, you know, get a good feel, you know, and
right.
it's like you're the new kid in school because you're a guest star, you know, right, I don't sure. know if you're familiar no. with that feeling, but you kind of
I built my resume in the 90s on guest starring on big sitcoms, and yeah, it's nerve-wracking. Really nerve-wracking. I did a Seinfeld, and that was really nerve-wracking because that's like getting called up to the big leagues and you don't know if you're ready or not, you know? but I get it, yeah.
I just know that I aspire to be with it and be in, you know, for the greater good and be able to tap into what the writer has put down and at the very least expects the cadence to be there, mm-hmm. and you hope and you wish you can hire the right athletes mm-hmm. to go to that for you, and I just felt really lucky, and I felt like I was in good, a really good company, and I wanted to do well, you know. That's kind of what I remember.
Well, you hit it out of the park, pal. What a great episode. Hysterically funny. I mean, just, you know, being so contentious with Lorelei, and he's calling her an East German basketball player and she's too tall. And I mean, that was hysterical. That was absolutely hysterical.
To be fair, I mean, Rune, you know, really had great aspirations of becoming a top rate horticulturist and carrot grower. And he didn't tell Jackson about his aspirations, but he was going to take over Jackson's business. And, if they would have let him go, Jackson would have been out on his heels and, you know, Rune would have taken over his identity.
So let me ask you this. A lot of people on this staff want to know, as producers want to know, was it your idea to cut the heads off the butter swans?
Yeah.
I knew it. I was right. I won the bet. I didn't know
whether I'd get captured, but then I remember the DP going, oh yeah, we got to go around and get a single. Because I was just like, what can I do? Because I'm just sitting over here. What kind of business am I going back? I'm just trying to think about the editor, you know.
True. Yeah, that's one of the things actors have to think about is the editor. Yeah.
He's a real prick. By accident, I guess it wasn't by accident, but I just kind of looked it up so I could watch the episode before I got a link. And somebody who's a reviewer or like a fan, a really big fan of the show, was reviewing the episode. And when my scene came on, when he saw me, he's like, who's that guy think he is? That guy's a little fucking prick.
Jesus.
Who is this guy, Rune? What a lame punk. Really, Rune? Really? Is that what you think, Rune? And he was just like, had it in for me. And then it was hilarious. It was really good.
That's very colorful language from a reviewer.
I take my hat off to America.
There you go. And what was it like working with Lauren Graham? Did you enjoy that?
Consummate professional.
Yeah.
Just amazing girl. Had a lot of weight on her shoulders.
Yeah.
And she just handled it like class act, smooth operator. Really a nice, well-mannered, down-to-earth. What more can you want? She made it really easy on me, as did everyone else there. And all I had to do was, in my eyes, was show up and be a part of this great happening.
Right. Did you know that you were going to do more episodes, or would they just book you one at a time?
As I remember, I think they were one at a time.
Right.
I just remember I had Ted Demme passed away on the last episode I was doing. He had just passed
at the basketball, playing basketball down in Venice.
Yeah,
right?
And I was really a good friend of mine, and we had a working relationship, and I was really tore up about it, and I couldn't even finish this last episode I was doing, which was a holiday episode. I did my best. I struggled through it, but they were really kind to me. Everyone was so sweet.
Yeah.
But I remember that was something that was going on.
For the audience, Ted Demme was the director of Blow, the film you did with Johnny Depp. Did he write the film as well?
No, Ted wrote, he did script rewrites, but he...
He didn't write the original screenplay? Okay.
Bruce Porter... And it was Nick Cassavetes, John Cassavetes.
Right, I know
did
Nick.
The screenplay. And
Nick wrote the Ted screenplay? Nick wrote that?
Yeah, Ted was contributing to it.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Nick Cassavetes is the son of John Cassavetes, the great actor and great independent director.
I think it was him. Bruce Porter wrote the book, the novel.
Yeah.
But I'm not positive that Nick could have done the other film. We also did a film called Beautiful Girls together.
Oh, you did that? Ted. Okay.
Yeah, Ted was a great director. He did Life. He did The Ref with Dennis Leary, was one of his great friends.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, I had a great. I love Ted with all my heart, and I miss him dearly. Yeah. He was a great.
That was a big loss. I remember that was very shocking. Ted, he was very young.
Ted, he was 38. Ted. Yeah. Ted just had, he started Yo MTV Raps. That was his first gig. And he was the producer of that. And he had just, all three of us, Johnny and I, and Ted had our second kids at the time. And it was, his kid was like 4 weeks old. Dexter. Tragic.
What a loss.
Can you give me 1 second? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, and vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source, and iHeart Podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into what lies beneath the glitzy image of Hollywood's golden age and all the sex, money, and murder that's been swept under the rug for decades. Using the Variety archives, each episode offers a rare glimpse into little-known casting couch stories that have long lived in the shadows. So join us as we navigate the tangled web of Hollywood's secret history with host Tracy Patton, along with expert Variety reporters and correspondents, as they discuss the secret history of the casting couch to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I'm sorry, I get cut. I always get emotional when talk about Ted. I apologize.
No need to apologize. Totally understand. So let's get back to Rune a little bit. Okay. What is seriously like, they, you know, I know Lorelai asked you in the episode, what is a rune? But I would like to know, what is it? Do you know what a rune is?
No, do you know what a rune is? I mean, I have my own kind of idea of what.
Well, there was a game
is.
When I was a kid that you played runes. There's a game. I don't know if it's a game, but they're based on, you know, runes were sort of headpieces, right?
Is it like a Dungeons and Dragons type of a deal? Remembrance of some place.
They were like these made out of stone, and they were rectangular, and they were runes, and they had symbols on them.
I remember,
You sort of can tell, you throw the runes in a certain pattern, you tell the future or something like that, or they're like tarot cards.
Like dice, kind of.
Yeah,
you zoom down, right?
But they're bigger. Anyway. So maybe that's...
Whatever they came up as, it was like the magic eight ball type of a thing.
Yeah,
like,
right.
But you threw it down like dice.
You never know what you're going to get. Maybe that was the point. Maybe that's why you were named Rune.
I think that's brilliantly.
I don't know.
I think you hit it. I think that's it. Could be. God, Jim, he's got it. Like, the man has got it, old chap. By Jim.
Oh my goodness. So you didn't. Your character didn't like Lorelai at all. Was it? Let me ask you. Was it difficult in those scenes keeping a straight face? Doing those lines, or did you really believe it when you were saying that stuff?
Well, I mean, it's all part of the package, buddy. You know, I got to bring something to the game there. You know, I had to have some intense, you know, a-hole kind of chutzpah. I had to do the rune mumbo to be able to. I had to really, you know, believe all of that. I had to bring it, buddy.
Yeah,
you know, this ain't easy. I don't get up like, you know, it ain't easy like this, getting up like this. You know, you think this is just, it comes out of the package like this, but no, there's a lot of thought that goes into these rooms here. It looks easy, but to be able to do this brutal things with the butter, you know, that's a lot of guts, normal people would be a klug. It would be a klug on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what a klug is?
I don't.
It's a klug.
What's a klug?
It's a kois. It's like a kois. It's like, you get coished with something. Cursed. You get cursed.
Oh, coiced. Okay. Gotcha.
Okay, no evens.
Speaking like one of the Three Stooges.
Sweetly.
Don't get coiced. All right. So it was just, you really felt it. You didn't have to fight laughing. You really possessed that character and you really hated her, 'cause you really committed to that. I mean, it's a good piece of acting, 'cause I really believe that you disliked her.
Well, I didn't, you know, I mean, she didn't do, you know, she's not making me any soup, matzo ball soup, or give me a pillow or to lay my head on. I mean, what kind of service is she? I really just wanted to get Jackson alone. Rune wanted to get him alone, mm-hmm. to be able to get his secrets about carrots, and, you know, really about a lot of other vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, Brad Jackson is known back home as he has some special growing process. And now that he's in the big town, I want to be able to come in and take over. That was my family had told me that now's your chance.
The big time, meaning the big town in Stars Hollow.
Yes, go see your cousin.
Right.
The back lot, yeah.
Gotcha. The big town in Star. Okay.
Back lot, that circle, that big circle.
Right, sure. No, I know.
I love that circle, man.
Yeah, I know. That was my home for 7 years, yeah.
I remember seeing you coming in one day, and I didn't say anything. I just opened the door to the donut shop, and I looked over. You know, my mom worked on the show too, right?
Linda Porter.
Yeah.
No, I know.
Yeah, we never worked together. Barely. I think we never really did any scenes together.
No, that's strange. Why?
We did David Lynch right before she passed. We did this David Lynch's Twin Peaks, the reboot.
Mm-hmm.
We did that together. My mom was brilliant on that show.
She was.
Mom just passed away. She passed away on September 25th.
Oh, I'm sorry, buddy. I'm sorry to hear that.
She's up there on Mount Heron up there with the, she's with all the, you know, important Jewish people up there.
Mm-hmm.
What is it, Mount Sinai? There you go. Up there next to Disney, across from Disney. They're waving. You're still sending my checks. They have like eyes on their money over there. Well, I mean, you laugh, but I mean, they're picturing that, you know, I need you to come have lunch with me before I pass away up at the Mount Sinai. We have to have a lunch there.
Mm-hmm.
Why, Mom? Why are we going to have lunch? So I already pictured that. She already pictured it, that we were having lunch. And mm-hmm. She was mad that I didn't want to go. I was scared of it.
Why?
I just wanted to lunch with her before she passed away. I love mom. Everything good about any of us comes from our mothers.
Totally agree.
It's true, right?
Yeah, it is true. Very, very true. Yeah, I lost my mom in 08, and I spent the last week of her life with her 24/7. Slept in the room with her. It was quite something. It was the most magical 7 days of my life. I mean, the love that was coming out of her, and it was just amazing the way she just hung in there for her kids, you know, wanting to just soak up everything that was, you know, the last bits of love and joy that she was going to experience. I feel for you, buddy. Sorry for your loss, man.
Likewise.
Yeah. So you basically, your character, Rune, you pretty much roasted Lauren the entire episode. I think we already know how you feel about her. You've stated this. But here's some of your greatest lines. She's like a basketball player. What was the bearded lady busy tonight or something? And then you stood up and said, okay, I'm getting really bored. First, I get stuck with her. And let me ask you this. Did Brenda Mabin in the wardrobe department tell you to wear your hat the entire time, your hat and coat the entire time? Because it kind of was.
I'm a bald Jew. What do you want from me?
I want an answer. If Brenda told you to wear the hat the whole time, was that your idea?
I wish I could give you the true answer for that.
Yeah.
The real answer, aside from what I just said, but.
But I mean, it's completely appropriate because you were not settling in. By the way, you have a very attractive head. You do.
Mi amor.
Mi amor.
Tengo respeto para tu familia, mi amor. Eso es sí. Gracias.
Vorrei un casa con vista sul mare, eh? All right, we're going to do a little section now called Rapid Fire. You ready?
Ready.
And I'm going to throw some questions at you. All right, how do you take your coffee?
Creamy sugar.
Can you smell snow?
No.
Best memory of Gilmore Girls?
I love when I couldn't. I was struggling with Ted's death and I didn't want to, I wanted so much to do good. And they were so professional and so kind. These girls who ran the show, and they go, you know what? We're chicks. We get shit done. We'll handle it.
Right.
Don't sweat it.
Right.
And they were so graceful about letting me down off of my, you know, where I had built my stress up to, and I was struggling, and it was so kind and so graceful that I just felt well handled and just blessed to have been able to work amongst, you know, you guys. That's my favorite moment, because I could say all kinds of wishy-washy made up stuff, but it wouldn't be meaningful to you and wouldn't be true.
Right. The cast member that you've texted most recently from Gilmore? Yeah. And if you haven't, that's okay.
No, I haven't. I was going to say it's this actor, Alessandro Nivola.
Oh, sure. He's terrific. So I've got you here. And as long as I have you here, I want to ask you one non-Gilmore related question. I think Johnny Depp is, I don't know if he's considered an underrated actor. I think he's getting his accolades as a craftsman, as an actor. But what was it like working with him? On Blow, because those scenes were electric. They really were.
We started off together. I don't know if you know this, but Ted had me bring him the script because he couldn't get at him through the channels, and so I went up to his house, and it was incredibly inappropriate thing for me to do. I put it off for months and for a couple of months, but we weren't going to get the budget if we couldn't get him through Bob Shea and.
Oh, it was Bob Shea? Okay.
Bob Shea and New Line, Fine Line. What's his name? You know, the Italian, the guy that got bounced. You know, the guy, what was his name?
Mike DeLuca?
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, so, okay.
And they were all in, you know, and Carrie, what the heck was this guy's name? I'm sorry, this is so long ago, but in any case.
I know I know who you're talking about. Is another independent financer producer, yeah, Carrie. Exactly. His name is Carrie
Woods.
Carrie Woods. Yeah. Woods. Yeah. Yes. Right.
So Carrie Woods was in on Beautiful Girls, this picture we did. So in any case, the Weinsteins did that one. So we there was a lot of pressure. I became really good friends with an actor, Matt Dillon, and Matt was the best man at my wedding. God bless him. He's been a good friend. We both collect 78s in Latin. We're both, you know, really into jazz. And so I went up to Johnny's with the script, and I'm like, hey, man, you know, I told Ted for months, I can't do this. This is like, you know, I started off my career with Johnny. We did a AFI short film together in 85, which nobody knows about. Mm-hmm. And it was how you got your tape on yourself when you want to get in the industry and you didn't have an agent. They had an agent. They were with Herb Tobias and Associates. It was like everybody and their mother was at this guy's place, and he was a throwback, this old agent, this old man. He was like, I had to have been like 70 something. He brought me in his office. He goes, hey, what do you want? Scotch, kid? I said, I'm 15, sir. He goes, all right, well, welcome to the shop. You know, this old man, he was great old man, Herb Tobias. It was Johnny Depp, Jason Getrick.
Right.
Little known name from back in the day. Right. It was Charlie Sheen, Emilio Estevez, Sean, Chris Penn. Mm-hmm. Johnny, Sherilyn Fenn. So that's how we met. We went to an audition at this woman's house. It was Johnny, Sherilyn, and myself. And we got into Johnny and I got into like a physical improv thing by accident with these characters. And we fell. And Johnny had this arrowhead medallion and it went and hit him in his eye. So all through the film, he's got a black eye in the shape of an arrowhead under his eye. But when we wrestled, but we have this VHS tape, and I'm sure he probably like, either had it all like taken. I don't know how you could get that like from AFI, but I haven't seen it since then, but it was, mm-hmm. it was really like the night before we filmed on the first day at my house. I was supposed to tell my dad that we were going to film there at my room, and they were having coffee. And I go, the crew's here, and these kids are bringing out all these lines, wire, like long power cords stuff for lights, and my dad just left without saying anything. He was so pissed. Mm-hmm. And he called me. He's like, can we come back now? I'm like, yeah, Dad, sorry, I'm really sorry. He's like, wow, you really pissed me off, Max. And I'm like, okay, well, you wanted me to do something. You said I had to drop out. I had to do something. I'm trying to do something. Mm-hmm. He said, you're not going to get it done this way. You're not going to be a professional unless you study under masters. Mm-hmm. From 50 years old. And I said, I never said I want to be an actor. I said I want to try to do something, you know, and you know, you're struggling with your dad, and I'd never been really beaten by my father. Maybe I should have been. That was, you know, probably a nightmare.
No. You didn't miss out on anything. Trust me.
But I was in like, I worked at a punk rock club. I would sneak out at 14 years old, and I worked at this punk rock club in Hollywood. And I was watching like inadvertently the whole music scene, like this genre being created with punk and rock and roll, rockabilly and country western and all this stuff. And it was all these great passionate musicians, but it was this tight-knit scene of the people that just wanted to go jam hour after hour till like 8 a.m. You wind up, and they were iconic road signs on this, you know, highway of mystery and desire that I grew up in '80s in Hollywood, you know, being a fly on the wall. And I was too young to be at these over 21 clubs, and they just couldn't get rid of me. Mm-hmm. But you know, the cops didn't mind me, so I didn't get arrested. And mm-hmm. I worked at over 21 clubs. I was a DJ at all the nightclubs in LA when I was a kid. And so I got it.
So you gave the script to Johnny.
I had to give the,
and he read the script and he liked it.
And he saw the $20 million offer attached to it.
Oh, good
and,
Lord, yeah. Wow.
And Ted said, tell him there's $20 million attached to this and give him the script, and you're the first, you know, you're cast, Max, already, but just do this for us. And I really felt uncomfortable doing it. And
yeah.
But you got to bring people together. And you don't know that you're supposed to do stuff like that.
That's a really tough thing, taking $20 million to your friend. Yeah.
Well, you never ask for anything. You don't, what are you going to do? It's just an awkward situation.
I don't think you were asking for anything. I think you were giving him something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, but I hear you. It's a tough favor to ask, but I don't know. You know.
No, he was the guy for the he made it happen for, and so everybody, you know, did their part.
It was
a
good film. It was a fun film to watch. It was a really good film.
I sat through the editing of the film with Ted, and we were buddies tight, you know. And
yeah.
I like think he really, he was just such a giving. And a guy like that just said to you, "Hey guys, you want to be a part of this? Come on, let's go."
Mm-hmm.
Hey, come on. You guys want to do it? Want to have fun? I like you guys to, you know, your energy that you bring. And he would say things like that that were true, mm-hmm. that, you know, about, you know, the people that he was bringing together. But anyway, I'm sorry.
Oh,
but
Ted, cool.
Ted, definitely was a sweetheart.
Yeah.
So dearly.
Well, you're a sweetheart too. You're a sweet guy, Max. And, thank you for spending time with us. Thank you for sharing these stories. And we would love to have you back on at some point. And
yeah, pal, anytime.
This was a very interesting journey back in time. And I hope it didn't tax you emotionally too much. But I think everybody can see and hear that Max Perlick is the real deal. This is what an actor is, a committed actor who feels everything that he does, or he can't do it. And that's the soul of what we do. And some people are just a little more committed to their craft than others. And it's pretty clear that you're one of those very, very committed artists who, creates from the very depths of his soul. And we appreciate it because you gave a very, very memorable performance in As Room.
I had fun. Thank you. I had a lot of fun with
and
you.
And guess what? The audience had a tremendous amount of time, tremendous time watching your work, man. So thank you for that. Okay.
I enjoy what I saw when I watched it. It made me, very warm inside. And when I saw what the work that, in all of the episodes that you guys put together, and I just enjoy watching the troupe of Gilmore Girls. So bravo.
Thank you, buddy. Hey.
All right.
Much love to you, man. Giving you a big hug. Okay.
Likewise.
All right, buddy. Peace. Wow. Wow. That's an actor for you right there. That's an actor living it. You know, people don't understand sometimes what it takes to do this job.
Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, and vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source, and iHeart Podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into what lies beneath the glitzy image of Hollywood's golden age and all the sex, money, and murder that's been swept under the rug for decades. Using the Variety archives, each episode offers a rare glimpse into little-known casting couch stories that have long lived in the shadows. So join us as we navigate the tangled web of Hollywood's secret history with host Tracy Patton, along with expert Variety reporters and correspondents, as they discuss the secret history of the casting couch to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I'm Riley, and this is your pop culture. First, we have Rory, Yoko Ono, really? Lane, a very misunderstood artist, and the Beatles would have broken up anyway. Yoko Ono was married to the Beatles' John Lennon. Together, they had a son named Sean Lennon, and Yoko Ono means one child in Japanese. She had a guest appearance on the TV show Mad About You called Yoko Said in 1995, and the Bare Naked Ladies wrote a song called Be My Yoko Ono.
Yeah, you know, the Beatles were at odds at that time. But John and Paul basically hated each other. And they didn't want to be in the same room. And George was trying to get out of the band. He was sick of all the arguing, and he was sick of getting his great songs rejected. His great songs were not getting on the albums.
It probably wasn't Yoko's fault.
It probably wasn't Yoko's fault because George wanted out a couple of times. And I think he even delivered to who was it? Their manager, like, I'm leaving the band. I can't stand this. I'm going to go make my own album. Because Paul rejected While My Guitar Gently Weeps. If you can believe that.
I do think there's a chance, though. Yoko and John could have been having dinner. And he's like, should I stay? And she's like, nah, go. That could have happened.
But I just think those guys were together for so long, since the time they were 16 years old. They went to Germany together, and they were in Hamburg, and they were 17, 18, and 19. I think John might have been 20 at that time. John was the oldest. But, I mean, George was 17, I think, maybe 18, but 17 years old. And he wanted out. He wanted out. He wanted out. So I don't think Yoko had a lot to do with it.
Rory says, okay, I must listen to anyone named Claudine Legere. Claudine is a singer, actress, dancer, and recording artist popular during the 1960s and 1970s. She was married 2 times. She actually shot and killed her boyfriend, an Olympic skier, and only spent 30 days in jail for it. Yeah. And one of her marriages was to Andy Williams, who discovered the Osmonds.
Yeah. Spider Savage, the skier. He was a very popular guy in Aspen. He was an entrepreneur after his skiing career. He was an Olympic skier and then a pro. They used to have a pro ski racing circuit that they would televise on NBC or ABC every weekend. It was like the Wild World of Sports. They'd always had the pros racing in tandem. They'd have the dual courses, right, side by side. And Spider Savage was one of the leading money winners.
Lorelei to Luke, that's very Richard Simmons of you.
Oh, a great one.
Richard Simmons is famous for his red and white shorts. He found an anonymous note attached to his car about his weight, and this ultimately led to his body transformation. His most famous workout tapes were Sweatin' to the Oldies and Sweatin' Shout. And Richard Simmons is still alive, but no one knows where he is. He disappeared. The topic became a podcast called Missing Richard Simmons.
I bet you, you know what? I bet you he's a Gilmore fan, and let's get him on the show.
That is an excellent podcast, by the way. I highly recommend it.
That's a good, which one? Having him on this show or his own podcast?
Missing Richard Simmons.
Oh.
Nobody can find him, but after you give us 5 stars, pop on over to Missing Richard Simmons and take a listen.
Lorelai, look, I know that Mrs. Kim and Robert Duvall in The Great Santini share striking resemblance, but she is Lane's mom. A 1979 American drama film based on Pat Conroy's novel, The Great Santini. The Great Santini's original name was Wilbur Bull Meacham, and Robert Duvall was an American actor that has been nominated for 7 Academy Awards and 7 Golden Globe Awards. Robert's 3 biggest movies were Apocalypse Now, The Godfather, and the Tom Cruise classic, Days of Summer.
Wrong. His biggest movie was To Kill a Mockingbird.
Mm. That's a big
one. That's what launched him.
He is still alive and is 90 years old.
Is he 90?
Lorelai says, you're nervous. You don't have some guy staring at you like he's Cher and you're the kid from Mask.
Oh.
So Cher plays Rusty Davis, the mom of Rocky. Eric Stoltz plays Rocky Dennis. And actor Eric Stoltz wore so much makeup for the movie, so he had to present ID to security at a post-production party to prove who he was.
Eric Stoltz was the original, he was cast in Back to the Future and they fired him and they hired Michael J. Fox.
Yes, and if you go on YouTube, you can even see some of his scenes.
Oh, really?
Really? Oh, yeah.
Lane says, Beethoven? The one with the dog? So Beethoven is a 1992 American family comedy about a St. Bernard. The dog playing Beethoven had 12 doubles and one of them was actually named Beethoven. The film stars Oliver Platt, Bonnie Hunt, Charles Croden, and Patricia Heaton all starred in the movie. Joseph Gordon-Levitt made his first ever film appearance as student number one. And in addition to the trained dogs on set, a mechanical dog was used to achieve facial expressions and reactions.
Wait, Scott, were you ever like in your early days, like busboy number two, waiter number three, like Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
What, in big films? No. I was never an extra. I never did extra work.
What did you get your SAG card for?
I think I got it for a movie. The first thing I did out here was with Tracy Lords, the ex-porn star.
Was it porny?
No, it wasn't. It was a detective. I was a detective. I played her husband. She was a detective. We were detectives. It was during the... I was out on vacation. I got this part. I was living in New York, and so I had to stay out here. And it was during the, there was a lot of, we were shooting right in the middle of those Rodney King riots when the whole city.
Oh, in the 90s.
Yeah.
92?
Yeah, it was early 90s, yeah. And they had to put us in the back seat of cars down on the floorboards covered in blankets to get us out of there because we were shooting downtown. We were shooting downtown in the former Oscar Mayer Wiener warehouse, and we're doing all this gunfire and chasing each other around buildings, shooting guns. So they had to get us out of there at like 2 a.m.
Riley, were you born in 92?
93.
Oh, my God.
Called Intent to Kill. It was with Yaphet Kotto, Angelo Tiff, me, Tracy Lords. And then actually Tracy Lords did, there it is.
Oh my God, you got second billing.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And then Tracy Lords.
We'll put on the Instagram what we're all looking at.
She did. I didn't make it on the poster though. See?
That was just Tracy Lords' legs made it right on the poster.
Am I in? No, I don't think that's me. Is that me? No. Maybe I'm the thing on fire in the background that you can't see. I don't know. But she was on an episode of Gilmore Girls.
Are you serious?
She actually did an episode of Gilmore Girls. I think it was like season 4.
We are absolutely having her on.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Oh, yeah. I was having a good time on that set.
I bet you were.
I was having a real, I had all my friends visiting me every night because we were doing night shoots on Hollywood Boulevard, car crashes and stuff. And so I was basically having a party. I had this big trailer and I was having a party in there every single night. It was so much
fun. Riley, your job is to try to find this movie to
Intent
watch.
To Kill.
So we can all watch it. And then next weekend, we'll all watch Saw. What Saw were you in?
I think I was at 4 and 5. I was so horrendously bad in Intent to Kill. It's kind of embarrassing. I was so bad in that movie. It was
all
just,
the better for us to watch.
Oh, you'll laugh. You'll laugh. So
hard. We have one more. And speaking of movies, so this is Attack of the 50-Foot Woman.
Oh.
Attack of the 50-Foot Woman is a 1958 science fiction horror. The film was shot in 8 days and was under budget. The film's poster was ranked number 8 on the 25 best movie posters ever by Premiere Magazine. And the original title for the film was The Astounding Giant Woman.
You know, that could have been Lorelei in Rune's eyes, you know, commenting on her size constantly. What size is your shoe? How tall are you? East referred to her as an East German basketball player.
I have the same size shoe as Lorelei, size 9.
9? You got
and
a 9?
And when she said it.
Really?
Yeah. And Rune was like, whoa. It made me feel all sorts of things.
How tall are you?
Oh, I'm 5'4". I just got a big foot.
So Lauren's probably, I don't know, she's 5'8", 5'9". Yeah, Lauren's tall. You know, she's tall.
Attack of the 5'9 Woman.
Attack of the 5. That, maybe that was the original title for Gilmore Girls. The Attack of the 5'9 Woman and Her Daughter. All right, everybody, let's do favorite lines. Let's Riley, start us off. What's your favorite line in this episode?
So this has to be probably my favorite line of season one, and it is,
you know, maybe sometime we could.
No. I have a great line from this episode. I have okay. a great line.
All right, what
it is
you know, maybe sometime we could.
Mine's better than all of yours. Hold on one sec.
You know, maybe sometime we could.
My favorite line is,
you know, maybe sometime we could.
On the door.
The jingle. The jingling door. Maybe sometime we could. I could ring your bell. Maybe sometime.
But it was momentous.
Oh God, that's funny. Good stuff.
Good job.
Good stuff. All right, so we're gonna add a little section here, a wonderful idea from a fan that we're gonna adopt. It's called required reading, and today's recommendation, or not really a recommendation, it's pretty much a command for everybody to read the following: The Unabridged Journals of Sylvia Plath. Rory was reading this book on the bench in front of her old high school. And just a little more background, she was married to Ted Hughes, who was quite a gifted writer, poet. He wrote a book of poems called Crow. So read Ted Hughes as well. And that's my personal recommendation. Classic episode. And don't forget, next episode, number 13. Episode 13 is Concert Interruptus, so I want everybody to watch it so we're all up to speed. Don't forget, everybody, I'm going to be at the Mohegan Sun this coming weekend in, what is it, Unksville, Connecticut, at the Mohegan Sun Casino. Come on by. I want to say hello to everybody. Take some photos, share some stories. And I believe we are going to be doing a podcast from the venue Sunday, 1 o'clock, with special guest Sean Gunn and maybe some other surprise guests as well. We're going to have a lot of fun. Do some Q&A. So come on by to that panel / podcast Sunday at Mohegan Sun. And let's have some fun, guys. All right, that's it. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. Don't forget, follow us on Instagram at IAmAllInPodcast and email us at gilmore@iheartradio.com. Oh, you Gilmore fans, if you're looking for the best cup of coffee in the world, go to my website for my company, scottyp.com, scottyp.com.
Grade One Specialty Coffee.
Ah, summer. The best time of the year usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into the secret history of the casting couch, to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.